Good morning. It's nice to be home. Camp was fantastic. We'll get to that here in just a moment. We think about Sister Virginia and keeping her in our prayers, and hopefully those doctors will figure out the best course of action going forward. And I think right now it's about the best prayer we could pray for. Hopefully they figure that out so they know where to put her in the best place and the best hands and care. Help her to be able to get that strength back that she needs so she can get back with us. I would invite you this morning to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll be there in just a moment. We do have some birthdays that we get to celebrate this week, and one that we got to celebrate yesterday. Casey Davis had a birthday yesterday, and so you can wish her a happy birthday today. Maybe belated, but we don't care about those things. We don't hesitate on those things. But this Tuesday, Gary Patton celebrates a birthday. Don't forget, Twyla. Ron Drake on Thursday has a birthday. So make sure that you wish them a happy birthday. We're excited to be able to do that every time that we have that opportunity. I want to do something a little different this morning. If you were a camper this past week, and I know we don't have them all, but if you were a camper this past week, would you stand up? Sitting hard, you just stand up out of a chair. There you go. Poof. Thank you for letting them go. And I know we're missing a few, but that was a fantastic number that we had this week to be able to go. You guys can sit down. If you were a part of the staff, whether you volunteered or were a counselor or just ran around all over the place, would you stand up, please? This isn't hard. Just get to your feet. There you go. And again, we have not everyone here. But I think about this group of people. You can sit down. I want to say thank you to this group of people that they give of their time, and they're out there to volunteer. Those people are there specifically for those kids. And I will tell you, kids, I know you're there for one another. We'll talk about that. But I don't know you understand how much you're there for us and how much you do for us when we're out there. If you haven't been to Bible camp, here's what I would, I don't care how old you are. You want to come out one day next year, and you just want to see what goes on, and you want to be able to see where these kids go and what they do, come out. I promise you it will change you. It changes me every year. This year was my favorite year, and I've been out there for several years now, and this year was my favorite year. We had a great group of kids, as always. Those that were leaving this year was their last year. That's really hard. I don't like it to be your last year, and I'm hoping that we find ways and make ways for you guys to come back if you would like to be able to do those things. But I think about camp, and I think about the example that is set, and the fact that people are there for one another. They want to be there for one another. Parents, I will tell you now, if you send your kids, there's not a better place you can send them for a week. We have a lot of fun together, but we get into the Word, and then I watch kids as they live it out every single day. Here in Hebrews chapter 10, we usually think of this as where we go so that the preacher's going to harp on going to church, that I should be there every time. Well, you should, but that's not where we're headed to. Go to verse 24. I want you to see why. You know, the thing I love about God is that God always gives the why. He wants us to assemble. He wants us to meet together. But he says, here's the reason. It's not just some arbitrary thing where I want to tell you that you need each other, that you should get together. I want to tell you exactly why I have purposed this, why I have planned this, why this is necessary for you. Verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I want to think about three things in this verse. We are to consider one another. We are actually to Be an inspiration of example. That's that stirring up of love. And then notice there the good works. That's the result that comes from that. Our association together, our fellowship together, our consideration of one another, what it leads to is somebody just wanting to be better. Because, number one, we want to please God, but we don't want to let those around us down. That, to me, is what speaks volumes of a Bible camp. It's campers who, well, I'm going to be there for you. I'm always going to be there for you. I'm not going to let you down. Now, we take away or try our best to take away worldly distractions and things. Campers aren't to have cell phones. Now, if they need to do some things or they need to get a hold of mom and dad, we'll make sure that we get that taken care of. But we don't want you sitting around there on your phone all day scrolling and texting and ignoring one another to see what's going on in the world. Well, let's see what's going on in our world there. Let us consider one another first. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. If you look at the last verse of 31, there in verse 30, then Moses spoke in the hearing of all the assembly of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Well, this is what we might call the song of Moses. And if you go to verse number 7 here of Deuteronomy 32, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you, your elders and they will tell you. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the place of his inheritance. Remember the days of old. One of the things that we do or did this year, every year, Thursday evening, we give out awards. And we go through with our staff and we sit down and we consider all these things that our kids have done throughout the week. And I understand it's not a whole long week, but there are some incredible things in a short amount of time that those campers accomplish and that they do. And we think about those who are our best Bible students and those that are the encourager, those that are the best. We have some funny ones and we have a good time. We have the best sleeper. Sometimes we have the best eater. Sometimes we have the best smile. It just depends on what it is, right? But we take it seriously. And we take it seriously because what we get to do, and I, you know me, I like to watch people. And to sit back and observe and watch as our kids see somebody who maybe needs some encouragement, and they go give that encouragement. They see somebody who is excited and happy about that, and those people draw others to them. There are those who fill needs, that they see something that needs to be done, and they don't talk about it. They just go and do it. And this year we had needs, like perhaps we hadn't had before, in ways that we hadn't had before due to illnesses and sickness. Deidre was going to help in the kitchen this year. Instead, Deidre had pneumonia, so Deidre wasn't at camp this year. She was sick. She was down. And so you know what? Our kids stepped up. They stepped into roles that they hadn't done before at camp. Now, it's not that they don't do those things at home, but they weren't shy about it. They were willing to help. They stepped up. They helped out. Why? Because they consider what's going on. They're going to be considerate of others. And what they did, do you understand what Moses is saying here to the children of Israel? What he tells them here is, remember the days of old. So consider, right, the years of many generations. Consider each other. Ask your father. He'll tell you. Ask your elders. They're going to let you know. And there are guys that want to tell you, oh, when I was a Bible camp, we didn't have air conditioning. Okay, that's because it hadn't been invented, maybe. I don't know. They didn't see fit that you needed to have it. Your tractors used to not have that either. They were open cab, right? Remember, consider. What we watched is that for the generations to come, they've seen expectations set. they've seen how people step up. They've watched these older kids that are going to be moving on. They've watched them step up. Oh, it's incredible to watch. This is what Moses wants the children of Israel to do. Step up. Pay attention. Why? Verse number 9. For the Lord's portion is his people. They want to serve. And it's not just serving to be able to help out. These are kids that were all week long leading others in worship. Man, I like to at times be able to lead singing in Bible camp. We got kids that want to lead singing. He's not here this morning, but if you'd have watched, Tate got up and led a couple songs, and that wasn't something that I know is, he backs down from here ever. He's always standing before us and doing it. To watch him at Bible camp, as you watch our young men that we enjoy here, I got to enjoy them there. I got to enjoy watching them do those things, and they handle it so well. And I would name all of you, but I'm going to leave somebody out. I want you men to know how thankful I am for all you do, that you step up into those roles. And it's because they've had a place here to do just that, and are comfortable just stepping up into it and continuing to go. We consider one another to be that example, to help others see and understand. 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Go down to verse number 22. We think about, we consider one another, look at what God does as well. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth and with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you should be swept away, both you and your king. This is Samuel addressing the children of Israel at Saul's coronation as king. Notice what he says that God does. He has made you his people. Verse 24, consider what great things he has done for you. We consider all that God does, and we think about as we surround this table, and we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made, and we remember how gracious the Lord is every day to us. To give us air. He gave us a body that we don't even have to think about breathing. We just do it. Our body does it. Now I understand it's more difficult for some people than others. Perhaps that goes through their mind more. But everything that God does and everything that he has done is for man. And what he desires and what he wants more than anything is for us to be his, and he has considered us in everything that he has done from the very before the foundation of the world, before he ever said, "Let there be light." God had already put into place what was going to be best for you and I. That's what it is to consider always what is best for everyone else, because we've watched the example of God considering what is always best for us. Go with me to Psalm 8. When we think about how much God loves us, what God does for us, all that he has provided for us. Psalm 8 helps us to see this, I believe, a little more clearly, to understand more clearly. Psalm 8, beginning in verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. I consider the works of your hands. Billy talked about that today. Jesus and his disciples, as they would journey and travel, perhaps there was no other place for them to stay than just to lay down on the ground next to the road they're traveling on. You look up and you see those stars, and maybe Jesus did say, I created those. But who are you, God, that you are mindful of me, verse 4? I consider those works and I can see how awesome you are and what you have done. Who am I that you would be mindful of me? When you take in the expanse of the heavens and you think about how large the galaxy truly is, and you think about those that expand and continue to go, that it's approximately 93 billion light years wide. It's massive. Who is man that you're mindful of him? That you would think of me. That you would be considerate of me. How incredible it is to think that we can be a child of God, and then we can pass that on to be considerate of one another. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Beginning in verse 17, the Hebrew writer says, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Jesus, made like us, that he could be that merciful, faithful high priest, that he could face, as the Hebrew writer would say in chapter 4 and verse 15, he's tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He went through all of it. He's considerate of man. He did it to be considerate of us, because he considers us that precious, that valuable. Go to chapter 12, and we look at these verses from time to time, specifically or especially there in verses 1 and 2, right? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, I don't know that we always go here. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Oftentimes we like to focus on, well, this person didn't say hi, or this person said something bad, or this person treated me, and you fill in the blank for how many times we look at those things. And we get what? Discouraged. We get brought down. We get brought low. What did Jesus go through? Do you understand the words here that the Hebrew writer uses? For consider him. That's our job. Consider him who what? Endured such hostility from sinners. I listen to people today, they say, well, you've created, this was one of the buzzwords when I was at Lowe's, you created a hostile work environment. Hostile. Do you know how we did that? By asking them to do their job a lot of times. Hey, I need you to move this. Oh, that's too hostile for me to move that. It's too hostile for me to do this or to do that. Let me tell you about hostility. Hostility is standing in the midst of a Roman garrison as they remove their armor and beat the thunder out of you. Slap you, mock you, spit on you. That's hostility. The hostility that he endured. You understand? He endured. He went through willingly. He went through it for you and me. We consider him, not us. Him. He says he did it for sinners. We consider him. He went through it for you and I. That's what he endured for you and I. We need to consider him. Why? Look with me at Philippians chapter 3. Because when we consider him, what we also take into account then are those who consider him and every single day live their life to be pleasing to him. We talked in class this morning, Luke 9 and verse 23, Jordan brought up, right? If anyone desires to follow me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow after me. That's considering him. And then notice here in Philippians 3 and verse number 17, Paul writes to the church of Philippi and he says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. They have noted how Jesus walked. They follow that walk. We note that walk. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So he's an imitator of Jesus. We can note those who walk in such a manner to follow after them. You know what we watched this week? We watched as these older kids set that example for younger ones, and the younger ones followed right in line with them. It's incredible to see it. It's incredible to watch. Because what we watch and what we get to see is a noteworthy example to follow after. And it's not just the younger ones following after them. We have counselors and staff setting the same example. But we also watch as counselors and staff as we have these younger people who also set that example for us. Oh, it's incredible. It's fantastic to watch them as they set that example and set that tone. That's a noteworthy walk. And it's a walk that can be emulated, that can be followed, that can be something that we put into practice in our lives. That's what Paul's saying. We need to make sure that we do the same. Have that type of an inspiring example for others to follow after, that they can take note. Because either they're going to follow your example or they're not. We're going to turn to these examples. We looked at one last week in 1 Samuel. We think about there in chapter 17, David facing Goliath. David was inspiring. David was inspiring because he's the only one who's going to stand against that giant that dares to defy the army of God. We can have that type of inspiring example for others to follow, standing up against those who would stand contrary to God. Even if nobody else will, we have the responsibility to do so and inspire those around us. Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of faith, that faith being demonstrated and shown. We can look at example after example after example who think of men like Abel and Enoch, of Noah and Abraham, Sarah, even Rahab. Those who follow, who demonstrate faith, who follow instruction, who follow what God has told them to do. That's what we watched all last week. Those kids set that example. Those staff members setting that example just to step in. I had kids coming and asking, tell me what I can do to help. Tell me what I can do to be somebody that can be used. Tell me I can be useful. That's all they wanted. Just let me be useful. Let me be used. And there they are, doing just that. You have guys like Billy and Travis who are driving around looking for anything and everything they could do. As soon as they're told, absolutely, and they just go. And then they start looking for things, and they do things without ever being asked, and it's incredible to watch. You watch as person after person after person steps up. It doesn't matter if they're an adult or a child. It doesn't make any difference. All people were doing was looking for ways to be able to help out. Something as simple as opening a door made a big difference. Something as simple as a pat on the back and telling somebody hello made a big difference. When you watch, I watch time again as our older kids would walk by and pat our own younger kids and the younger kids from other places on the back and just say hi. The smile that came on that young person's face was incredible. You just can't wipe those memories away. So what's the result of these good things? Considering one another, inspiring one another with those examples. Look with me at James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We see the results of all of these things. Go down to verse 17. James 2 and verse 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith. How? By my works. There's the result. I'm going to show you my faith. I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm going to demonstrate it. I want you to see it. I want you to feel it. I want you to have an example that you can emulate, that you can follow after. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount has started in verse 13 to tell them that you are salt. You are. Not you could be. You are. You flavor the world. You are light. Verse 14. So what's my responsibility? Well, my responsibility is being that light that inspires others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's the result in verse 16. They may see your good works and glorify God. That's what we want. That's what good works lead to. Others glorifying God. Colossians chapter 1, I'd ask you to turn there. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. Paul writes to the church at Colossae, he says, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Do you see that? This is what I pray for, Paul says. Do we pray that for one another? That you continue to increase in knowledge, understanding, and knowing the will of God, that you then walk worthy of the Lord, that you demonstrate that faith, that you help them to understand what God would have them to do because they can see it in you. And you continue then. That's the idea here. Not that you just have knowledge, but you continue to grow in that knowledge, to gain that knowledge, and then to show it. You see, that's the results of those good works. Titus chapter 2. Beginning in verse 6. Titus chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. "Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." You see our attitude? What it should be like? That we can in all things show ourselves to be that good pattern, that we follow after the teachings of Christ. And in following after the teachings of Christ, we show integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. We're not hypocrites. Instead, our good works are something that others can follow after. I'm going to tell you about my week for just a second. Every morning, Brent and I got up a little before 6, and we made a security check around the perimeter, gave the all clear for everybody to come out. There were two young men, Nate Clark, who goes to college on a soccer scholarship. He's out there running sprints and dribbling a soccer ball around. Another young man named Elias. Elias got up every morning and ran 2 or 3 miles around the campus. And I would just look at him and shake my head, and he would say, "You used to run cross country?" I said, "Yeah, you said that correctly. I used to run cross country." I would watch him and the endurance that he had, and always had a smile on his face. And then we would wake the kids up at 7:45, we'd meet them on the basketball court, and we'd sing some songs to get them, we called it Christian calisthenics, songs that made them move, okay? So Father Abraham, stuff like that, to get them to move. And we would have a prayer, eat breakfast, and you would watch as people put others ahead of them and said, "No, you go ahead, you can go ahead." Watch kids go in the kitchen to serve food. That's my favorite thing to do, is to go serve food, because I like to pick on the kids as they come through the line. And You watch them as they then go out, they clean up the camp, they help one another. I watch campers who aren't a part of a team that's cleaning a specific area. As they walk by, they'll see something that needs to be done, they just do it. Even though it's not for their team, it's for somebody else, they're still going to help. And then we have Bible class. I love Bible class. We get to open our Bible, we get to talk about God, we get to share with them. Our theme this week is God is, and there was my topic was God is powerful. We got to talk about a powerful God. And there were so many other topics for God is that other Bible class teachers and then our lessons each evening were all focused around God is and everything that God does. And God is, period. He's alive. He cares. He's considerate. He's given us the greatest example that we could follow after in demonstrating love, kindness, mercy, in demonstrating an example for us to emulate and follow after. Jesus, when he speaks to his disciples the night that he would be betrayed in John chapter 13, there in verses 34 and 35, he tells them the type of love that they're to have for one another. A love that can be seen, a love that brings others to him, because what they know, those that are not his followers, you are my followers based on the love that you have. What I got to watch was children who are followers of God, staff who are followers of God, leading and being able to help others follow those same examples. Thursday, maybe it's Wednesday, however you want to look at it, I have a nephew who wanted to study. Wednesday night started about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, I guess, about 10 o'clock. We baptized him at about 1:30 Thursday morning, Wednesday night, however you want to look at that. And we got to bed a little after 2. Got up, did our perimeter walk run about a little before 6. About 8:30, 9 o'clock that night, I had another nephew that was baptized. Now, opposite ends of the day, but I had a really good day Thursday. In fact, Thursday we baptized 4 kids. 4 kids. Jordan had a big role. And the thing is, the role in that didn't stop Thursday, did it? You see, those young men, 2 of them, are going back to a place that there is a church there, and thankfully enough, they attend there. They're not on their own there. You see, any questions or anything else that they might have, anything that they might need, staff made sure they had phone numbers, they could get a hold of us, that they could call. They know that they can count on people to make sure that that Christian walk didn't start at camp with a hug and a welcome only to let them go and do nothing for them again. That's not how it works, is it? I watch as our kids exchange phone numbers and everything else with their fellow campers, because that relationship doesn't end Friday when we go home. It continues on. They've been challenged to continue having those same relationships and that same type of camp atmosphere and desire throughout at least the rest of the year, so that when we get back to camp again next year, we don't have to worry about reacquainting ourselves. We pick right up where we left off and we keep on going. We pick up right there. You know, I picture that same thing in heaven. That the relationships we have right here, they just pick up right there. I can't wait for that. I can't wait to see those people. I can't wait to see campers next year. And Lord willing, we'll be able to have camp next year. But if not, Jesus comes back, I look forward to those relationships being continued right there for all eternity. My question for you this morning would be this. If your life was to end right now, where are you going to be to pick up the relationships that you've had? Are you around people who are helping you get to heaven? Or are you surrounding yourself with people who aren't going to get there? We're going to pick up relationships, and it's going to last for eternity. The question is where? I know for those campers where that relationship today would start, where we'd pick up, and it would be standing beside one another singing praises to God. Maybe this morning you think about you and you're not yet a child of God and there are things you need to do. You have to follow His plan of salvation. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. Cause you to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Jesus in John 8 and verse 24 said, unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins, you will perish. It causes you to have godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verses 9 through 11. Godly sorrow leading to repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. You won't regret salvation in heaven, eternal life with God the Father and with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're not going to regret that. It'll cause you to change, to repent, to put away those things that you have done contrary to God, to live for Him every single day. Acts 17 and verse number 30 says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Be willing to confess His name, not just by mouth, but in life. That's what Jesus is saying in Matthew 10 and verse 32. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. That's the life that you lead. That's the example you set. That's what you tell people, not by mouth, but by your walk, your habits, what you do every day. You're willing to submit, be buried with Him in baptism, where His blood, Revelation 1 and verse 5 tells us, washes away our sin. And our sin no longer is held against us. Instead, we rise to walk pure, perfect, newness of life. And the expectation Jesus has, Revelation 2, that last sentence, verse 10, be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. Our responsibility every day, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Him. That's what you get to do as a child of God. Or maybe as a child of God, Luke 9:23 has been something neglectful in your life. You don't follow every day. You don't take up that cross every day just when it's convenient. And there are things that you need to change. This morning, if we can help you in any way, we ask you to come now. Together we stand and sing the song. It's been selected.